What is up, everybody? Nick Scrip, P2W Fantasy Podcast, heading into week 14. For most leagues, this is a very important week because it decides who goes to playoffs and who does not. Obviously, you're going to have some people that already have a playoff position locked in. Some people, on the other hand, have no chance of going to the playoffs, but I play in plenty of leagues to where I know that this week means a ton to people. A lot of people love betting on the weekends as well via DFS. So the point of this podcast here is to help you, one, win your matchups in week 14. And number two, have some DFS data in front of you if you do play that. We're looking at all of the matchups and the matchup data that will help you in those two categories. As always, this podcast is partnered up with the Fantasy Points Media Group, which is a branch of fantasypoints.com, a one-stop shop for everything fantasy football you are looking for. Articles, media content, advanced data, research, projections, rankings, a community Discord, all in one spot. It's not too late to sign up. Get that edge for your fantasy football playoffs. Use the promo code for a discount, P2W22. It's going to be a great show. Let's get it.
Fear to give, I feel but I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip, they don't understand. I play to win, yeah, I play to win, I play to win. Yeah, yeah, I play to win, I play to win. Oh, play to win, I play to win. Yeah, yeah, play to win, I play to win.
Okay, so we have the Thursday night football game. If you are listening on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, either something from this sounded smart or dumb or somewhere in between here. But we had the Raiders versus the Rams. The Rams allowed the seventh most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. Davante Adams is the number one targeted wide receiver and averages 11.3 targets per game. Number one in air yards and total touchdowns with 12, 98 receiving yards per game. Obviously, always a play in your fantasy football lineups, but we got a plus matchup here. Both Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow have been on the IR. A beneficiary of that has been Mac Hollins. Two out of his three last games, he's seen nine targets. He has six games this season over 11 fantasy points. As of Wednesday, Hollins is rostered in 45% of sleeper leagues. Should Waller and Renfrow remain out of this Thursday game, he has some deeper league flex potential. Other side of the ball, the Raiders allow the fourth most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, the fifth most fantasy points per game to running backs, 12th to wide receivers, and sixth most to tight ends. So it's a good matchup across the board. Last week, Cam Akers led the running back room with a productive 19 fantasy points, guided by two rushing touchdowns. The week prior, though, Kyren Williams led the Rams in touches. It's confusing here to me because the 1 week we had Kyren Williams looking like the lead back, getting some receiving work. And then the next week, it looks like Cam Akers. No other Rams player scored 13 fantasy points outside of Akers in week 13. I still have some hope for Tyler Higbee, who has scored under four fantasy points the last 2 weeks, but he's had five targets in his last game. He is the fourth most targeted tight end this season, and he has three games over 14 fantasy points. Fingers crossed he is a tight end we can rely on heading into the fantasy playoffs with that position looking thin. Next matchup, so we're going to the Sunday slate now, Vikings versus the Lions, which should be a fun one. Detroit allows the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, fourth most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, and fifth most fantasy points per game to tight ends. They're tougher on running backs. They've improved against running backs. Since TJ Hockenson's move to Minnesota, weeks 9 through 13, he has ranked for tight ends number 2 in targets, tied for number 1 in receptions, number 4 in receiving yards, and number 3 in total fantasy points. AKA, that's good, and it's a good matchup. Kirk Cousins is a top 5 quarterback in passing attempts plus red zone attempts, which is a good opportunity to have signs of other statistics. 244.4 passing yards per game, 18 passing touchdowns is 11th for quarterbacks. Cousins struggled against a tough New York Jets secondary last week, but he's had three games over 21 fantasy points. This matchup versus Detroit could make his fourth. Minnesota allows the seventh most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, 11th to running backs, second most to wide receivers, and ninth most to tight ends. Another solid matchup across the board here. Jared Goff is coming off of a 340-yard passing day versus Jacksonville, scoring 21.6 fantasy points. His third time this season above 20 fantasy points. Back-to-back weeks, throwing a pair of touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been heating up the last few weeks. If we look at the sample size of weeks 10 through 13, he ranks number 4 in targets, number 1 in receptions, number 2 in receiving yards, tied for number 3 in receiving touchdowns, and number 2 in total fantasy points. DJ Shark, as of Wednesday, is only 27% rostered on Sleeper, with Jameson Williams still getting healthier and accustomed to NFL gameplay. Chark has some flex potential. 5 receptions for 98 yards and 14.8 fantasy points last week. Eyes are on DeAndre Swift. Ironically, and it's not the best sign, but he popped up on the injury report, something with his ankle, after I took some notes for this podcast. But we finally saw some heavier utilization out of him in week 13, playing 51% of the snaps, 18 touches, a touchdown, and 21.1 fantasy points. He's had 14 targets across his last two games. So fingers crossed, whatever he popped up with on this injury report is fine, because we're finally seeing him produce to what we know he can do. He has that talent. He just hasn't had the health. Next matchup on the slate, Ravens versus Steelers. Pittsburgh allows the ninth most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and the third most points per game to wide receivers. Tyler Huntley played 86% of the snaps for Baltimore last week for an injured Lamar Jackson, 27 for 32 and an interception. He did rush for 41 yards and a rushing touchdown. Last season, he played the majority of snaps in 5 games. His fantasy scoring was 10.76, 13.3, 35.9, 12.28, and 7.84. I feel like a lot of focus was on that one big week, just seeing those scores. DeMarcus Robinson is rostered in 24% of sleeper redraft leagues. Chemistry has been displayed with both Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley. Robinson and Andrews have been the primary targets. 9, 4, and 8 targets the last 3 weeks. Back in week 11, he scored over 21 fantasy points in a game he finished with 128 receiving yards. Baltimore allows the 11th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and 8th most points per game to wide receivers. Deontay Johnson is the wide receiver 39 overall this season, so the fact that he is number 7 for wide receivers and total targets with over 100 right now is a bit surprising, isn't it? 8.8 targets per game. He also is number 14 in receptions with 61, but the issue is being number 40 in receiving yards. Per game, he only has 47.1. Not having a single touchdown this season doesn't help his case either. After seeing 5 targets back-to-back weeks, 10 and 11, Deontay has had 19 across his last 2 games. So maybe this is a sign for better fantasy scoring to follow. It's just hard to trust. George Pickens has been the receiver with more upside in this receiver room. I've often noted the average depth of his targets, the deep targets, the air yards, etc. He's had 5 weeks above 14 fantasy points. He was frustrated with only 2 targets last week. So if Pickens can get him going, if Pickett can get Pickens going, that's a mouthful right there, there is the potential for a big play or two to happen against the Ravens. Next on the slate, the Browns versus the Bengals. So Cincinnati is a tougher matchup for quarterbacks and wide receivers this season, ranking 27 and 28th for points allowed per game. They do allow the 13th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. Got to re-say that one. They allow the 13th most fantasy points per game to tight ends, and David Njoku is expected to play this week. It's funny. I had my daughter walk in. I like side-eyed her over here. I'm like, what are you doing? And as soon as she did, I started speaking like some sort of like Latin or something, and stuff started levitating over here. But decent tight end matchup, all right, for David Njoku. He missed week 13, but he was a top 10 fantasy tight end in week 12, scoring 13.9 fantasy points, which was aided by a touchdown. Weeks 1 through 7 before missing time, Njoku had the third most receiving yards and 6th most fantasy points for the tight end position. If he plays, a connection with Deshaun Watson could be huge for the tight end landscape. Cleveland stands out as a plus matchup for the running back position, allowing the second most fantasy points per game. Joe Mixon has been making progress to a return from that concussion. In his place the last 3 weeks, Samaje Perine has scored 30.2, 19.3, and 21.5 fantasy points with four total touchdowns and 14 receptions in that span. The last time Joe Mixon played a full game was week 9, where he was the RB1 overall, scoring 55.1 fantasy points. He rushed for 153 yards and four touchdowns that day and added 58 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown, five touchdowns on that game. Next, we got the Jets versus the Bills. The only somewhat fantasy-friendly position against the Bills is the wide receiver position. Buffalo allows the 13th most fantasy points per game to that position. Garrett Wilson has scored over 24 fantasy points three times this season. Once with Joe Flacco early on, and then twice in back-to-back weeks, weeks 12 and 13, with Mike White. In these last two games, he has had 95 and 162 receiving yards. He scored two touchdowns week 12. Safe to say Mike White plus Garrett Wilson has been a good thing, and we will need to be, it'll need to be an emphasis going into Buffalo, a tough matchup. The Jets rank 19th or worse in fantasy points allowed to all positions. Have to know what's been going on with the running back room, though. James Cook, season high in snap percentage with 43%, receptions with 6, touches with 20, and fantasy points with 16.5 in week 13. Cook was a second-round investment and led the Buffalo backfield in week 13. If Cook can stay involved in the passing game, that can be big for PPR leagues in a great offense. Texans versus the Cowboys. Dallas is a rough fantasy matchup for quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends. 18th most fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers. Nico Collins was limited at practice on Wednesday. I think they listed it as undisclosed. In his last four games, he's seen 10, 7, 9, and 10 targets and has had a 15.9 fantasy week in that span. Apparently, Houston is going back to Davis Mills after giving Kyle Allen a shot. 8 straight games scoring 20 or less points as an offense, 6 straight under 20. So it's a rougher matchup. I'm not sure anybody's worth playing. I mean, you're probably going to play Damian Pierce due to, you know, running back position being a thin one. He did have 21 touches last week after only having 8 the week prior. That's a decent sign after having a scare there, but it is a tough road ahead against Dallas. Houston is actually a really tough fantasy matchup for quarterbacks and wide receivers, but allow the most fantasy points per game to running backs. Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott have been coexisting well for fantasy. 21.8, 36.9, 8.1, and 24.6 fantasy points the last 4 for Pollard. Zeke has scored 16-plus in all 3 of his last games appeared in. Across the last 4 games, if we combine both running backs, even though Zeke has only played in 3 of those, they've combined for 9 total touchdowns. And now we got Houston, a great matchup. Eagles versus the Giants. The Giants are 24th, 17th, and 23rd ranked in points per game allowed to quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. They do allow the 8th most points per game to the tight end position, but following Dallas Goedert's injury, there's not really anything there to talk about for tight ends. All eyes were on A.J. Brown scoring touchdowns against his former Tennessee team last week, but Devonta Smith had a quality 21.2 fantasy scoring week with 102 receiving yards and a touchdown. Smith has had 8 or 9 targets in 5 out of 6 of his games following the bye, but only one game above 14 fantasy points. Philadelphia is the worst fantasy matchup for quarterbacks, middle of the road versus running backs, towards the bottom for wide receivers, and 24th in fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends. Tough matchup. Saquon Barkley for running backs ranks number 1 in snap share, 82.3%, number 7 in targets, number 10 in receptions, number 4 in rushing yards, and number 9 in total touchdowns. RB5 on the year. Focal point of the offense. I do like Darius Slayton as a player to at least have on your roster. He's had 5 straight games over 60 receiving yards, 3 out of 4 of his last games above 85 receiving yards, 4 out of 6 of his last games above 13 fantasy points. Weeks 2 through 6, where Daniel Bellinger, the rookie tight end, played over 50% of the snaps, he finished 2 weeks as a top 12 tight end. He returned from injury last week to see 97% of the snaps and 5 targets. Not a play necessarily for the tight end position in a tough matchup this week, but I feel like he's a tight end to stash heading into the playoffs if you've been streaming this season. Jaguars versus the Titans. Tennessee allows the second most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. Across Trevor Lawrence's last 3 games, he scored 20.96, 24.94, and then 16.36 last week. I think he left the game for a little bit there. But week 10, he threw for 259 yards and 2 touchdowns. Week 12, he threw for 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. Week 13, Christian Kirk finished with 104 receiving yards. Weeks 9 and 10, he totaled 3 touchdowns and finished with 21.6 and 31.5 fantasy points. Since week 7, he's only had 1 game under 8 targets and 4 games above 8 targets. Zay Jones, week 10, saw 10 targets and finished with 68 yards, 14.8 fantasy points. The next game played, he finished with 145 yards and 27.5 fantasy points, 14 targets in that one. Other side of the ball, Jacksonville allows the 8th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, 9th most fantasy points per game to running backs, 9th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, and 12th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. Really poor Derrick Henry week against Philly with only 5.9 fantasy points and seeing his lowest rushing total of the season attempts. Being down multiple scores affected that for Henry and his usage. He has rushed for under 40 yards in back-to-back weeks, which is a little iffy, but he's had 5 games over 100 rushing yards this season. Treylon Burks is trying to work through that concussion protocol. His status is up in the air for week 14 here. Weeks 11 and 12, he scored 18.1 and 17 fantasy points, but he was knocked out of week 13 just when he was catching stride. Should Burks not go, more volume could be forced upon Robert Woods, who has seen 7, 7, 6, and 6 targets the last 4 games. A lot of hype has been around the rookie tight end Chigozim Okonkwo. And I could be saying that wrong. That was a first time try there. But Okonkwo has had 3 of his last 5 games over 40 receiving yards with 68 last week as a field stretching tight end. The targets are trending up for him with 10 across his last 2 games. So a guy to keep your eye on. Chiefs versus the Broncos. The Broncos are the 2nd worst quarterback matchup for fantasy. The 25th, they're 25th in fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. The 2nd worst fantasy matchup for wide receivers and allow the 16th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. So pretty tough defense for a team that's a pretty poor offense. But 3 of Jerick McKinnon's last 5 games have been over 10 fantasy points. He had a season high 14 last week, scoring a receiving touchdown, which is where the potential is for his upside in the receiving game. 6 catches apiece, weeks 9 and 10. 3 straight weeks above 10 fantasy points for Isaiah Pacheco. 15.6 and 16.2 the last 2 weeks. He has been efficient with his work in 3 out of 4 of his last games, rushing for examples of 5.1, 7.1, and 4.7 yards per carry. 4 weeks above 65 rushing yards, back-to-back weeks with a receiving, rushing touchdown. Not that we need to talk about Travis Kelce, but he is in his own target tier with 108 this season. 2nd place has 86. 968 receiving yards pushes him in his own tier with 2nd place having 654. 12 touchdowns with 2nd place having 5, 169.3 fantasy points in total with 2nd place having 99.9. So holy shit, what a positional advantage for Travis Kelce. Maybe he should have been a top 3 pick this year. Kansas City allows the 6th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, 10th most fantasy points per game to running backs, 5th most to wide receivers, and 22nd to tight ends. Cortland Sutton is unlikely to play in week 14 due to a hamstring issue that took him out last game. After missing time, Jerry Jeudy returned to play 38% of the snaps in week 13, but he did manage to catch all of his 4 targets for 65 receiving yards. That's a good sign. Prior to his week 10 injury and the bye, Jeudy scored 16.6 and 18.3 fantasy points in his last 2 full games. I would not be shocked in this game if he sees double-digit targets. Prior to week 13, Greg Dulcich, the rookie tight end, has shown signs for fantasy life. He scored in his first ever NFL game. He had 9 targets in week 7, 87 receiving yards in week 8. We're hitting some good categories just talking about that. Then he has a solid week 13, catching 6 of his 8 targets for 85 yards. This was after 3 weeks under 8 fantasy points. So the key here is having consistency in his usage. It's not a great tight end matchup, but should Sutton not play, I think Greg Dulcich is the biggest beneficiary of him not being there. Panthers versus the Seahawks. Seattle allows the 12th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, 3rd most fantasy points per game to running backs, and 2nd most fantasy points per game to tight ends. Deonta Foreman is banged up. Before their week 13 bye, Sam Darnold was the starting quarterback. 164 passing yards and a touchdown for him. Nothing wild there. Although it's a tougher wide receiver matchup, the emphasis this week will be on DJ Moore, who in that Sam Darnold start caught 4 balls for 103 receiving yards and a touchdown. DJ had some solid weeks last year with Sam Darnold. Carolina is a top 12 fantasy matchup for running backs and wide receivers. We have no idea what the running back room is going to look like as of Wednesday. Kenneth Walker is banged up. DJ Dallas could be the lead. He's banged up too. Travis Homer may be back. Tony Jones had a run last week and got some snaps. It's a confusing situation, to be honest. I did see earlier that Kenneth Walker and DJ Dallas did not practice, but Travis Homer did. So maybe he's the guy to pick up right now. A lot of people have faded both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf because of the potential, you know, Drew Lock versus Geno Smith quarterback room heading into the season. But both guys are top 15 wide receivers for fantasy right now and have looked great in similar games together. Next matchup. Buccaneers versus the 49ers. 49ers are a tougher matchup across the board for fantasy outside of the wide receiver position as they allow the 10th most fantasy points per game. Back-to-back weeks for Chris Godwin with 13 targets on the dot. 29 and 14.3 fantasy points in these games with that week 12 game going for 110 and a touchdown. He scored 19.1 right before the bye. He looks healthier. He is operating as the clear wide receiver one for the Buccaneers. Mike Evans, on the other hand, has had 4 straight games under 11 fantasy points. Only 4 targets last game. Could this be the game he bounces back and Tom Brady gets his other guy going, knowing that Chris Godwin has been trending up and Mike Evans has been trending down? The Buccaneers are a tougher matchup to all positions outside of the tight end position, allowing the 4th most fantasy points per game. George Kittle, the tight end in this matchup, has had 3 really bad fantasy weeks out of his last 4 games. He had 1 like explosive week and then 3 bad ones. Looks like Brock Purdy is likely under center with the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. The one fantasy piece, if it's Brock Purdy or if it's Johnson who they just signed, the one fantasy piece I feel confident in still will be Christian McCaffrey. Last week, McCaffrey saw 10 targets and caught 8 of them. He had 1 for a touchdown. He had 80 receiving yards. The easiest and most efficient passing option for a third string quarterback is going to be the elite pass catching running back, and that's going to be Christian McCaffrey. So question marks across the board. I'm not as worried about McCaffrey. The Dolphins versus the Chargers. So the Chargers rank 13th for quarterbacks, 4th for running backs, 20th for wide receivers, and 11th for tight ends in fantasy points per game allowed. Let's focus on Jeff Wilson. He had a nightmare of a game script last week, a nightmare of a fantasy outing with 0.3 points, nightmare of volume with Raheem Mostert touching the ball more, and this was all against his former team. So again, the game script, like I just mentioned, had a lot to do with this, but it was a bad week. You know, you get concerned with weeks like that where a guy doesn't even score 1 fantasy point. And Wilson's 4 appearances for the Dolphins, though, he has scored 16.2 and 22.3 fantasy points in 2 of them. 3 total touchdowns, which is something he did often when given work in San Francisco. That's something his head coach has seen when he was the offensive coordinator. 119 rushing yards in week 10. I think this could be a good bounce back week for Jeff Wilson, seeing the matchup and how poor he was utilized last week. Miami ranks 5th for quarterbacks, 16th for running backs, 17th for wide receivers, and 3rd for tight ends and fantasy points per game allowed. Everett scored over 10 fantasy points with 13 in week 13 for the first time since week 7. 5 catches on 6 targets for 80 yards. It's a plus matchup for him on paper. Keenan Allen does have the matchup here. It's not the worst, but when we look at what he's been doing lately, he's back to form. Hopefully you hung on to him if you're contending. A lot of narratives get created when an older player misses extended time, but in reality, Keenan Allen has barely missed time across the last 5 years. Back-to-back weeks with a touchdown, 12.4 and then 15.9 and then 20.8 fantasy points. That's a good fantasy trend. 14 targets. The Monday 14 targets would be the last game. Patriots versus Cardinals would be Monday Night Football. We'll talk about that at some other point here. But there you go. Just some quick hitters for every single matchup that hopefully can be applied to your lineups for one. And then number two for all of you people that might be playing DFS as well. Good luck. I know it's a huge week for a lot of you guys. I know it is for me in more than one league. But hopefully I can help guide you guys to continue to play to win, get the dubs that will lead to championships. Good luck, guys.